This is the NPR News Update. It's Minnesota's news on your schedule. It's Friday, January 3rd. I'm John Wanamaker. Investigators say it could take weeks to determine what caused a deadly fire at a Minneapolis apartment building. The Wednesday blaze killed at least one person and injured 14, six critically. As of Friday morning, one person remained unaccounted for. This fire came as the city is going through a major political transition. Minneapolis has its first new mayor in 12 years, and a new council member will represent the area where the incident took place. Curtis Gilbert reports the tragedy is putting their leadership to the test the moment they take office.
Mayor Betsy Hodges' inauguration ceremony was a festive, even quirky affair. It was billed as a kid's inaugural, with family-friendly attractions. There was singing.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
A free yoga class.
Now we're going to do downward facing dog, okay?
And a wall where children like 9-year-old Noah Johnson got to make a mural.
I think I might paint like a sky with some clouds in it.
But Hodges' inaugural speech took a somber turn.
I can't let this day go by without saying a word about what happened yesterday. For the kids in the room, something sad happened for people who live here, but they're doing okay. They have a lot of their friends and their family and their neighbors from here in the city helping them out.
While the city's political leadership is changing, its fire chief and other public safety officials remain the same, at least for now. Hodges says the transition in administrations has no effect on emergency response or the investigation into the cause of the fire. Speaking to reporters after her inauguration, she pledged to help the people affected by the blaze.
First of all, for people who are experiencing this tragedy, I carry the message that the city is with you, the city is thinking about you, and the city prays for you, including me. But then it's also making sure moving forward that the victims, that the families, that the business owners, that the neighbors get what they need to move forward, to rebuild, and to thrive.
The Cedar Riverside neighborhood is the epicenter of the Somali community in Minneapolis. Abdi Warsami will represent the area on the city council when he's sworn in next week. Warsami wants to make sure the victims get all the city resources they can.
People need shelter. They lost their homes. The businessmen have lost everything that they have. And the community have lost an institution. I mean, the mosque is being damaged as well.
City officials say the Red Cross and Salvation Army are providing immediate relief to survivors, but Minneapolis does have housing and public health services available, as does Hennepin County. Both Warsami and Hodges were on the scene Wednesday, along with then-Mayor R.T. Ryback, as firefighters battled the blaze. They then visited two hospitals to see people injured in the fire. Ryback says it's important to show people who've suffered a tragedy that their city supports them.
My job and Mayor Hodges' job and Councilmember Warsami's job was to say, you're not alone. Not only are we here, but we represent the whole city.
Ryback had to do that many times during his 12 years as mayor. He says one of the challenges of the job is moving between acting as consoler-in-chief one moment and civic cheerleader the next. In 2006, he recalls attending an emotionally wrenching funeral for Brian Cole, an 18-year-old who'd been killed in a drive-by shooting.
15 minutes after I walked out of that hideous funeral, I was pulled up onto a stage for Energy Independence Day, and they put on a three-cornered hat, and we made a Pledge of Independence. And I remember just the hideous irony of that moment, and thinking how it felt very wrong at that time. But it also is, frankly, just the job.
Ryback says Hodges' response to the fire has shown she's ready for that job. Curtis Gilbert, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And Minneapolis fire officials say it's possible a natural gas leak caused the explosion and fire. Fire Chief John Friedel says several witnesses and survivors reported smelling gas just prior to the explosion. CenterPoint Energy spokeswoman Rebecca Verdon says no gas leaks or gas odor problems were detected in the area before or after the explosion. She says CenterPoint doesn't service gas fixtures inside the building, so the company doesn't know if a poorly installed or broken stove caused the blast and fire.
Any piping after the meter's customer responsibility. Now, while we do own and operate a home service plus technician department that does home service repair and maintenance, they do not service commercial.
A city inspection report from 2010 found multiple violations, including missing smoke detectors. However, fire officials say the violations were minor ones and they were corrected. The lead prosecutor in St. Louis County says the Diocese of Duluth should have gone to police immediately after learning a priest was accused of sexually abusing a child. County Attorney Mark Rubin says the diocese waited 15 months before notifying authorities that the Reverend Cornelius Kelleher was accused of abusing a girl years ago. The alleged victim is now an adult and went to church officials in 2012. The diocese removed Kelleher from ministry in 2013. Minnesota may be entering its peak weeks for influenza. Public health officials say flu cases are now being reported in every geographic region of the state. In its weekly influenza activity report, the Minnesota Department of Health says clinic visits for influenza-like illnesses nearly tripled last week, and 71 people were hospitalized for flu complications. Epidemiologist Karen Martin says flu is definitely on the upswing.
We would expect hospitalizations to continue to increase. And, you know, once kids get back to school after winter break, we expect to see more outbreaks of influenza-like illness in schools and probably some in long-term care facilities as well.
And not a good sign. H1N1 is the most identified flu strain this season. That strain was especially hard on young people during the 2009 flu pandemic. So far, there haven't been any pediatric deaths in Minnesota from flu. The health department is not tracking adult flu deaths on its website this year due to funding cuts. This is the NPR News Update. We come your way every day around noon. It's Minnesota's news on your schedule. County prosecutors will consider whether to file criminal charges in the case of a television reporter who entered three schools in the Fargo-Moorhead area while working on a hidden camera story meant to expose lapses in school security. Police announced yesterday that they had forwarded the case to prosecutors. They alleged that on December 11th, Valley Live reporter Melanie Moore walked into the schools without checking in at the main offices. The forum reports that city ordinances in Fargo and West Fargo and state law in Moorhead stipulate that visitors failing to register in school offices can face a misdemeanor charge. A gauge of business confidence among supply managers in Minnesota got a bump in December. Annie Baxter has more.
The Creighton University Business Conditions Index for Minnesota logged its 13th straight month of positive growth. The index registered nearly 59 in December, up more than 3 points from November. Readings above 50 mean that factory executives are seeing economic growth. Non-durable goods manufacturers like food processors and ethanol producers experienced some retraction last month, but durable goods manufacturers and engineering services firms showed particular strength at year's end. A national index of manufacturing activity from the Institute for Supply Management also showed the factory sector in expansion mode last month. Annie Baxter, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Sioux Falls police say a woman faces her sixth drunken driving offense after she was spotted driving on a sidewalk New Year's Eve with two children in her car. 36-year-old Nicole Kroger is the mother of five. She faces several charges, including drunken driving and child abuse. Authorities say her blood alcohol level was nearly three times the legal limit for driving. Kroger's last DUI was in 2009. Kroger's husband says his wife suffers from alcohol addiction and needs help, not incarceration. Minneapolis saw a big increase in the number of people who took the GED last year. Tim Post explains why.
Minneapolis adult education officials say they gave 8,600 GED tests, more than twice the number handed out in a typical year. They credit the spike to a new test for 2014 that's tougher, more expensive, and administered entirely on computer. 847 people passed the old test in 2013, 300 to 400 more than usual. People who didn't pass the entire test will need to start over in 2014. Carly Peterson, manager of adult education for Minneapolis Public Schools, says people who didn't finish the GED in 2013 shouldn't panic. She says the studying they've done has prepared them for the new test.
You still have a chance to pass the exam, so just try it again.
Peterson says the new GED will be a better indicator of whether test takers are ready to start college or a career. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A federal agency has issued a warning about transporting Bakken crude oil from North Dakota. The Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration issued a notice yesterday that Bakken crude may be more flammable than typical crude oil. Additional testing is underway, and the findings could result in a different classification for the North Dakota oil when it's shipped by rail. Bakken crude has been involved in recent train fires in Quebec and Alabama, and this week in Castleton, North Dakota. And a winter storm is moving into the state today, with a blizzard watch going into effect for the Red River Valley this afternoon and lasting into Saturday. Blowing snow could hamper travel in western Minnesota later today, while southern Minnesota could see a mix of precipitation, including snow, sleet, and freezing rain. And coming in behind the storm, another blast of very cold Canadian air. Highs on Sunday and Monday only forecast from 10 below in the south to 20 below in the north. A unique program at Minnesota State University Moorhead lets students earn a degree by booking concerts and producing records. The university has offered the music industry program for 30 years and recently started a record label. As Dan Gunderson reports, a new generation of students is using it to gain real-world experience in a rapidly changing industry.
For students in the music industry and entertainment studies program at MSUM, the assignments are a little unusual. Search for local music talent, record and produce a new CD, and manage the release for the student-run label, Undeclared Records.
The record company is meant to be a working laboratory for them.
Program coordinator Ryan Jackson says students select the artists, they sign the contracts, and they record and produce the music. Senior Eric Jensen says he spends hours in the studio working with local musicians. He's learned the music industry is all about connections.
I like to try and help everyone so that someday if they become somebody, you know, they'll say, hey, this guy, he helped me back in the day. He's a good guy. We should help him out.
The students also experiment with and embrace new technology, using iPads and apps to create and produce music. Eric Jensen worked on this recording of rapper O'Shea, included on a sampler released by the student-run label last spring.
Highly imitated, never replicated. Now you stay there while you lay back and you getting faded. I guess it's a celebration. We made it. Some cheers and here's all of the niggas who hate it. Yeah, because all that hard work pays off.
Some of the instruments are actually digital instruments, so we actually created them inside the computer. Other instruments we recorded, the guitar is a real instrument. Let's see. Actually, I think that might be the only real instrument that we have in this.
Along with playing and recording music, the students study business, music theory, law, and communication. They also collaborate with MSUM film students to create music videos. Student Alex Johnson hopes to become a professional recording engineer. He knows exactly what he's looking for in the bands he works with. Strong musical skills, but also
really well organized, financially stable. They're productive with their time and they work well with others. Those are all things that I look for, because if you've got a bunch of guys that, you know, have no drive or any motivation, they just sit around and dink around all day. Nothing gets done, and then it's not worth anyone's time.
Outside of the recording studio, students manage live events on campus and at local concert venues. Most of the students have some musical training or experience playing in bands or are somehow involved in what program coordinator Ryan Jackson calls a resurgent local music scene in Fargo-Moorhead. He says the students give the local music scene a boost, but they also benefit from it. He says they want to promote quality musicians.
No one knows for certain our love defines forever and
it's always. Nice to see it kind of swing back to that, as opposed to the uber-produced pop star. These guys are actually seeking people that can play, which is really refreshing for me. It's not surrounding a look, it's surrounding a quality that can only be achieved by hard work and practice.
Jackson says the music industry is looking for people with a wide range of skills.
Specialization in the industry is really in a downturn. They need to be able to produce, they need to be able to play. If a musician gets sick, they need to be able to step in and say, all right, I can actually cover this part.
Jackson says he's made a lot of mistakes in 25 years working in the music industry, so he stands back and lets the students make most of the decisions. He says it's best for them to fail while they have a safety net.
Coddling isn't going to work. I'd rather have those experiences for these students be here where they've got me on text and speed dial so I can help them, rather than when their career, their families, or their livelihoods are in the balance.
Jackson says that on-the-job experience makes the transition to a real job much easier. The music industry program typically has about 80 or 90 students. Most graduates find a job in the industry, whether it's in L.A., Nashville, or Fargo. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News, Moorhead.
And that's the NPR News update for Friday, January 3rd. I'm John Wanamaker. Thanks for listening.